From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. It is a Wednesday for you as the Chiefs don't have a game this season. And quite frankly, this week is starting to look like it's better to be lucky than good any day of the week. We have a great show for coming up. We have a great show coming up for you. Chris will join me here shortly. And then Matt and Derek, we're going to get into the fallout from this game, what it tells us about what they have with the younger guys, what can we expect as the playoffs get ready to roll. The Chiefs have some great opportunities here. We're going to go into them here in just a second. I'm Ryan Tracy. I run the YouTube channel RGR Football. You can find it at rgrfootball.com as well. It'll take you over there, where I do all kinds of analysis on stats and film and game planning, the whole nine yards. It's a great addendum to what we do here, Chris and I, back and forth with all of our guests. So make sure you check that out. I also run Rogue Analytics, which is my draft matrix, the athleticism matrix that I have built over the years that is the top tier in showing you what functional athleticism is for the draft prospects. Make sure you check that out as well. Interesting couple of things. Bad piece of news to start the week. And again, lucky's better than good sometimes. And the Chief Strength Conditioning Coach Barry Rubin, who is well-respected across the league, has come down with COVID-19. We don't have any specific details, but they are in the midst of contact tracing. It doesn't look like this is anything close to the outbreak that we've seen in Cleveland. And quite frankly, the lucky part comes in that the Chiefs haven't been in the building for the last 2 days. Because it's the bye week, they've had distance. So the exposure to those who have been with Barry Rubin actually goes back to before the game last week. So relatively could be out of the contagion timeline, which is a big, big plus. They would have come in, they would have gotten some rehab post-game, but very, very little exposure to the strength and conditioning staff. They might do a little bit of a lift just to get some of that lactic acid out. We'll see, and we'll certainly find out if anybody else comes up as exposed, as close contact, or forbid all that somebody actually comes down with it as a second positive. We will definitely let you know. But right now, it looks like they've dodged the biggest threat from this COVID exposure right now. And a couple of things, as I look at the end of the Chiefs regular season, you kind of throw out that last game, which I did, but over on RGR, I did a rundown of the analytics, and there's three key things to keep in mind that the Chiefs achieved in the regular season, and that is they were third in yards per play on their offensive side. That's great. Yes, the Packers were one of the teams above them. We'll talk about that later in the week. They were third in drive efficiency in terms of the number of scoring drives that they had. Another great statistic. And here's the shocker: of overall pressure productivity in the pass rush, they came out 10th. Again, throwing out the week 17, you know, no starters played kind of thing. So that is all very positive adjustments. And we're going to have more for you coming up next as we get into more of the aftermath of the Chiefs regular season. This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, but we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th. And you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Welcome back. We're splitting Matt Derrick's appearance. You heard half of it yesterday. Today, we're going to get into some of it here in a bit. But we have to take a look at what we can take away from this last game the Chiefs played against a division rival. Without any call. Yeah, right. Well, I'm going to call it that anyway. And they clearly had a goal in mind of evaluating the guys that they have. And I thought they had a great opportunity for that. We talked about Baker yesterday, and that is a terrible situation. We talked about Willie. He should be able to be back during this playoff run. But there are other guys that made impressions or needed to. And I feel like for the most part, it was positive. I think there's a hot button here with Bo Peak Keys. I came away not feeling, honestly, I feel better about him than I had previously because we hadn't seen him. I did not take it as a negative. How did you feel about it?
I thought he played well. I think you're going to see, it's really hard to evaluate guys that have gotten no snaps pretty much the entire season going up against starters trying to win a game. It's a horrible position for them to be put in. It's great conditions for coaching staffs and people to try to pick apart players. Mm-hmm. So the better he played, the better. But, you know, he's got to learn his technique. He's got to learn to get his head around. And that's something that he will learn with time. But, you know, he had pretty good speed from what I saw, although he should have gotten beat deep for a TD.
Yeah, I mean, and that's honestly, he is more in the vein of Bashad and Sean Smith before him and et cetera, et cetera. The Chiefs defenders that are more physical than they are deep speed. And that's okay. They're never not going to have that because especially when you look towards the future and whether it's next season or three seasons from now or whatever, you're looking at L'Jarius Sneed being one of your outside corners, a guy that you can put speed for speed on against anyone in the league except probably his own teammates. And so you can afford to go with more of a power press man guy on the other side that maybe doesn't have the long speed.
Yeah, and it's possible that they're also looking at Keys as maybe being a potential starter down the road, but it's also possible they're looking at being a core special teams guy. I mean, you can't look at a seventh rounder and tell me that you're expecting him to be a starter at corner. I mean, that just isn't, generally speaking, that's not going to be what's going to happen. Corners are going to be high draft picks. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying, generally speaking, you're going to find most of your starters coming from the first couple of rounds. So it's possible they're looking at him as, you know, somebody that can play, but you also have to look at the players that are going to be in this division long term. Keenan Allen is still here for a couple more years, but Mike Williams isn't going anywhere in Los Angeles. You've got Ruggs in Las Vegas. Aguilar, we'll see whether or not he's back. But then you start looking at Denver. Hamler is not a small wide receiver. He's fast. And you also have Courtland Sutton. So You have a big body wide receivers that you're going to have to be dealing with.
Absolutely. And you need that style of play that can go strength on strength. And so I think, again, come away with it as somebody on the upside. Another guy that I thought flashed, he did have his first career sack, but he also played, popped on a couple of other plays as well. And generally, again, like we talked about post game, didn't show any negatives. Tim Ward got on the podium and talked about his progression to this point, a guy that was severely injured when he joined this team. And not many defensive ends on the roster next season. So somebody that may have earned himself enough of a flash to get, you know, some more playtime in 2021 or maybe even beyond.
Absolutely. I think that they really wanted to see what Tim Ward could do. And I think that they probably were impressed from what he did. He's got to work on everything, but anybody that's playing in this game, generally speaking, is going to have weaknesses that are going to be things that they need to work on in the coming weeks. They're not expected to be superstars. You're trying to keep your stars out. You know, the one guy, and I'll get back to Ward in just a second, but the one guy I was surprised played as much as he did was Thornhill, just because I would have thought that they would have tried to see if they could move their secondary around to where he didn't have to play as much as he did, but I understand why he played. But that really tells you where Daniel Sorensen is in this team's thought process.
It absolutely does, as much as it bewilders
Pains
me.
You?
I mean,
to be fair, though, Thornhill is young. He needs as many reps as he can get. He's still getting back from his injury. He needs to get back into full faith in his leg. And yeah, you're risking an injury with him, but I mean, I hate
it's
saying
not that
this.
Game.
Yeah, I hate saying this, but you did go win a Super Bowl without him last year.
Right.
And I'm not trying to take away from him. I think he's a great player, and I think he's going to be good for Kansas City for years to come. So I'm not trying to take a shot at him at all. I'm just saying you have to play who you have. The one thing about this game is you couldn't. It wasn't like a preseason game where you can sit all of your starters and maybe even your second team guys. You've got to have those guys play because you just don't have the roster availability.
Right. And you never know when you're going to need somebody. I agree with you on Thornhill. Like we said earlier this year, I thought he came back around 90%. He fell off some. Clearly the team wasn't happy with it. So they fairly, you know, knocked down his reps. He started playing special teams after the break. I'll talk with Matt about that as well. But at the end of the day, I don't take that as a huge negative on his future with the team. I take that as this is the situation now. We're going to deal with it as we have to. And then we'll get back to normal when you're a full year recovered from this injury.
Absolutely. I'm not trying, like I said, I'm not trying to take anything away from Thornhill. I think he'll be a good starter for Kansas City in the future. I just think that the reality of the situation is right now, he's not one of the top two safeties. Whether or not we like it, that's the reality. Sorensen may not have the speed, but he has the smarts and doesn't get, usually 99% of the time, doesn't get caught looking in the backfield. And that's what killed him in that specific Raiders game.
It hurts. I'm just saying that, you know. But we'll be okay, and so will he. Everything's going to go according to plan. Colin Saunders, despite being benched, we talked about him the other day, too. He made an impression on his teammates. There was a lot of positives. I think you saw from Rankin that despite being gone all week, or I'm sorry, all season, that there's still something there. I was worried that after this long of a layoff, he would not be able to play. Yes, he got beat a couple of times. That's going to happen. But I was actually encouraged by his play as well.
Yeah, and I think you have to look at him not playing at all the season up until this point, and then putting him in there and expecting him to play well. I think that's asking a huge thing, especially considering he's coming off an injury, didn't have a training camp, didn't have any real reps going into this game at all. I think he played very well for what he was able to do. And I think that it's going to be something where they're going to be looking at him in the next couple of years as maybe being their swing guy. We'll have to see over the next couple of seasons what goes on. But I did find it funny. You mentioned Colin Saunders. One of the things I absolutely loved yesterday was watching Mitchell Schwartz talking about Colin Saunders and different players. Honestly, Mitchell Schwartz during games is a lot of fun when you see the, you know, his tweets and some of the things he gets retweeted that come through talking about Colin Saunders running linebacker, you know, sideline to sideline as a linebacker. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm going to have to reach out to Mitch because I think he has a future on, you know, some kind of media outlet that could talk about this team. So that said, I hope you guys enjoyed this game, and we get a little bit of time to dig a little bit deeper into where they are as a season, where they are going forward as we prepare for the wild card weekend that the Chiefs don't have to play. So hope that you all are having a good week. Keep it here. We will have tons more for you. We have some more guests coming for you, including our old friend Seth Kaiser. Will be with us soon. I don't know exactly the day yet, but he will be joining us, as well as a couple of surprises.
So coming up next, Matt and Derek on what we should expect for the Chiefs playoff game.
Who's ready for some football? It's almost here, and the college football season is starting to get to the bowl games. I'm pretty excited about that. And then, of course, we have all the playoff games for the NFL as we get into January. There's plenty to talk about. And a lot of it comes down to if you want to be part of the action or not. There's one place that you can be covered and one place that you can trust, and that's betonline.ag.
Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Go check out BetOnline.ag.
We're back with Matt Derek from ChiefsDigest.com, and I have a couple of things I want to go over.
One thing that stood out to me on initial rewatch, you know, I put it on that 45-minute thing and just kind of zoomed through it. Most snaps we've seen Juan Thornhill play since before the break. Now, at the bye week, that's when he started playing special teams as well, which gives you an idea that there's not just a health thing, that there is a bit of a demotion there. He played special teams last night as well. Looking at what they have to do for this playoff, is that something that volume of work in week 17, is that him being the crutch, knowing that you have other guys, Watts played a ton as well, or is that still feeling out to see if he can match his assignments and be more consistent?
Yeah, I mean, you typically don't do anything new in the postseason. I mean, you are who you are by the time that you get to this point in the year. So I'd be stunned if the Chiefs do anything different. I mean, I think that this was, you're absolutely right. I mean, this was a game where you give your backups, you know, an opportunity to play. And the fact that Juan Thornhill is out there playing every single snap, and, you know, he played 84 total snaps in this game with special teams. He's a backup. I mean, Dan Sorensen, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, those guys sat. I mean, those guys are your starters. I don't think there's any doubt at this point that Thornhill is the, you know, the number three guy back there. And it means he's going to be probably a little bit more scheme dependent on, you know, who they're up against, what kind of, you know, coverages they feel like are going to be their best deal out there. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any way that, you know, the Chiefs can spin it as much as they can as far as, you know, that he's a situational player right now. But, you know, that's, I mean, that's what a demotion is. And I don't know that it's still entirely, you know, anything about Thornhill that's anything other than the injury. I mean, it could be that the Chiefs are seeing something, but I think the injury is certainly continuing to play a part of that.
Yeah, that's my thought as well. I don't see this as a permanent situation. Like, he's not living up to the hype of his rookie season. I think it is about getting back to a full 100% to come in 2021. We'll get there. At least they have him for the playoffs, so I think that's a step forward. He can get that exposure to the next level of intensity in this league, and that's going to pay off in dividends as well. A couple of other takeaways from this last game of guys that we probably won't see for the rest of this season. I thought it was very telling that Tim Ward actually got to the podium. How did you take his appearance?
Yeah, you know, well, you know, hey, he's a, remember, I mean, this is a guy's second year in the league. He played at Old Dominion, so he probably got, you know, a little bit of attention there as far as, you know, the level of media attention that Old Dominion has. But you could tell, I mean, because, you know, his first year in the league last year, because he was injured, we never got a chance to talk to him at all. So, I mean, and this year being the weird COVID year, I mean, this was literally 2 years in the league, the first time he's had a chance to talk to any reporters. So it was a little bit different, but he had a good game, you know, and I was really eager to see it because I remember even talking to Brett Veach back in 2019. You know, the NFL had those regional combines, and the Chiefs brought him in. They asked him specifically to come in because Kansas City was hosting the regional combine in 2019, and they requested him to come in. Even though he was hurt and couldn't work out, they wanted him to come to that combine so they could talk to him, interview him, and be around him. And I, you know, and Brett Veach spent a lot of time with Tim Ward that week, and really, you know, they'd fallen in love with the guy. So I was really eager to see what he can do. And you saw, I think, in that game, what the Chiefs like. I mean, he's a long, lean guy with speed. I mean, that is the prototypical Brett Veach defensive end. So you see what they like. And, you know, I mean, and he had some good favorable matchups. I mean, the one sack that he had, you know, that was a case where, you know, the Chargers just left him out there on the tight end, and you need to abuse the tight end if you're Tim Ward. And he absolutely did. So, mm-hmm. You know, given the win, but I thought he looked decent. I mean, I liked the speed. I thought there was some, you know, definite upside there. I mean, you see what the Chiefs do like about him. It's still tough, you know, as far as breaking that rotation, because the Chiefs do have a lot of depth at that spot. But I think the Chiefs saw enough that, you know what? I mean, if Tim Ward's going to be a rotational piece in 21, I could see them thinking that they're okay at that spot.
Yeah, and there's a lot of pieces that they still have to decide on. There's only a couple of guys actually under contract for 21, so I could see that as well. And I think, like you said, the prototypical length plus speed is what they don't have a ton of across the older guys in Okafor and even Frank, as well as Tano's got the length, but you don't see that explosiveness out of him. So I think there's a lot of draft discussion to come off of this as well, but it gives you an anchor piece. That said, Byron Pringle, Darwin Thompson, just as we expected at the podium, I think very matter of fact about this was their opportunity. And I think they both took as much of it as possible. Further takeaways on who helped themselves down the line for not the postseason run, obviously, but 21, 22, et cetera. Anything that struck you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't think that there was anybody that embarrassed themselves. I mean, I think that these young guys, you know, the most part, was everything perfect? No. I mean, there were some mistakes that were made out there, and that's to be seen. I mean, expected. I mean, this was, for all intents and purposes, as Andy Reid said, I mean, a fourth preseason game. That's what it was. But I thought the quality of play was higher than you would normally see in a fourth preseason game. And that probably, once again, should be expected because these guys are in the league. In fourth preseason games, or sometimes guys who aren't going to be in the league. But, you know, and I'd have to look at a little bit more individually in some of these guys, but I think that, you know, Yasir Durant to me seems like a guy who could be that, you know, sixth or seventh offensive lineman. Maybe a guy's not ready to start yet, but I think he could be that backup piece who could plug in a couple of different spots if you need it. Chiefs love guys who can play multiple spots, and you've seen Durant be able to play guard and tackle. You know, there was a lot of veterans on that line, you know, yesterday. So on Sunday, rather. And, you know, so, you know, I think the Chiefs know what they've got with Wisniewski, Kilgore. I mean, they feel good that if there's an injury in the postseason that they're there. I think it speaks volumes, the fact that, you know, Byron Pringle has, he could play in this league, and he's just buried in, you know, on a deep, deep wide receiver group right now. I think there's a lot of places where he would be, a, you know, at least a solid number three guy, and he can do a lot of things. So I was impressed there. You know, defensively, I'll tell you what, even though Imani Watts has been, you know, struggling to find playing time at safety, he played with some fire. And, mm-hmm. you know, and once again, not everything was perfect, but I thought he played hard and he played with speed. And that was sometimes, you know, maybe a little bit of the question mark for him coming out was, you know, his ability as a tackler and whether he had that. And I think he certainly answered a little bit of that. You know, Bo Pete Keys probably the same way. I mean, once again, there were a couple of mistakes, but I thought he played hard and he played pretty fierce. So, I thought that if you're looking at purely at the young guys, there was a lot to like. Like I said, not everything perfect, but I think that the Chiefs were pleased that all these guys played with a lot of energy, and I thought they played hard and they played aggressively.
I completely agree, and I think that there's still intrigue amongst some of them. I thought probably the funniest moment was Tim Ward's comment on Colin Saunders' ability to run around on 2 feet rather than out of a 3-point. I completely agree with him, and it seems like there was some smirking going on, and to Ward's credit, he didn't get thrown in the pit with you guys in the room. Zoom helps. But that said, the youth movement, the volume that they have, I think a couple of guys probably made themselves a roster spot for next season just by showing up, and 16 weeks of practice in the NFL will help you do that. Is there anyone of the group, standout or not, that you think actually may be in a position to play in the postseason? Obviously, there's a lot of question marks at linebacker, but anything else?
Yeah, I mean, linebackers are a huge question mark, and I think Darius Harris has done a lot the last couple of weeks to put himself into a spot to play if he needs to. I mean, I think that the Chiefs are clearly still going to go with Anthony Hitchens and Ben Neiman at that Mike position if they're healthy and they're ready to go. But I think Harris has gone a long way to show that, hey, if you need him to be on the field, he can be. And they may need him because that's a position group that's really banged up right now. Pringle probably the same way. I mean, I've got some questions about if I'm in the postseason, if the high risk, high reward of Mecole Hardman in the return game is worth it. You know, Pringle doesn't have the high upside, but I think he's probably going to be more consistent. I think that's got to be a tough question for Dave Tobe to see what he wants to do. Probably an easier decision in the kick game, but the punt game, I think that's got to be at least a little bit of a consideration what you do there. Otherwise, I mean, I think that by and large, you know, the Chiefs are going to go with who got them there. The guys that have throughout the season have kind of proved that they can play some roles, you know, the Mike Danas of the world, Tershawn Wharton, I think those guys will get their looks, but I think that the Chiefs are a veteran team, and I think they're going to lean on the veterans as much as they can. There's probably a couple of guys here and there who've proved that they, you know, deserve some time and they can fill in if needed. But I think the Chiefs, by and large, I think they're going to go with their horses.
That said, what do you feel about Fenton as the returner?
I don't think there's a lot to dislike. I mean, you know, it might just be a durability question. You know, Reed mentioned after the game that, you know, both his ankles were kind of bothering him a little bit. Might be a little bit of a concern. And I know he's got more experience in kick return than punt return. So I could certainly see him staying in that role. But, you know, Pringle, if he's healthy and they're not, you know, and they're not concerned about re-aggravating the injury or exposing him to any more hits, I mean, I think he's been proven that he's probably got a little bit more upside than Fenton, but I can see Dave Tobe going both ways on that one.
I think it'll be interesting to see. And obviously, we're going to hear more once they get back in the facility and they're practicing. This is all about getting healthy, getting rest. I think they'll be okay as long as they survive the COVID thing. But thanks for being back, Matt.
Thanks, Ryan. It was fun talking to you.
And that's it for us today. We'll be back with you. We have some guests coming up. You're going to hear from Seth Kizer here in the next couple of days, as well as a surprise next week. So keep it here. Thanks for listening today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.